May my words be in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please take your seats. Now, many of you are probably aware that for this lectionary year, where possible, we will be mainly preaching from the Psalms. Many of you probably know they're divided into five books, and today's Psalm 111 is towards the beginning of the fifth book. The Psalms, beautifully written poems and songs, written from the heart by people writing about the times in which they lived. A bit like Christian music today, they are a very human response to express thoughts and feelings about everyday experiences in relation to our walk with God. Some it's you praises of joy for God's goodness, some awe and wonder at his creation, some are full of lament and distress. Unfortunately, when translated from their original language, we can lose characteristics intended for the listener or reader. Today's psalm is an example. It was written in an identical way to Psalm 112, which follows it. They were both actually written as acrostic poems, with 22 phrases in 10 verses. And each of the phrases, just an interesting point here, begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This would certainly have helped to memorise the passages. And unfortunately today, we don't have that same advantage. But going on, the essence of today's psalm is quite obvious. At the start of Psalm 111, you can see it's one of praise. It begins with a simple declaration, praise the Lord, or we might say, Alleluia. It's almost as if the writer thought, okay, before I go into the whys and the wherefores of praising you, God, I simply just want to give you praise. It goes on to say, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. So not only do I want to praise you, I want to do it with my whole heart. And not only that, I want to praise you in public, in small groups, in large gatherings. I don't really care. I just want to praise you. And I don't want my heart to be divided in that praise. I want it to be devoted to you fully in praise. Wow. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm gripped. What an opening. What an amazing, incredible opening. Imagine this being sung or chanted to music in the temple, full of hundreds of worshippers rejoicing, praising God. So like any great beginning, it draws you in. What is the psalmist so joyful about that every sinew of his being just wants to shout from the rooftops, praise the Lord, Alleluia? Well, the psalmist refers to the works of the Lord and the fact that they are the cause of great joy. And when we delight in them, we want to study them. I think that's a good observation, and I'm sure we can all think of a time when we have just been so awe-inspired by something in the natural world that we've just had to stop and look at it more closely. I was watering my orchids recently, and for a moment I was stopped in my tracks. So taken aback by their beauty, I just had to look closer. They are just a flower. But they are so intricate, and there is not just one type of orchid. There are thought to be somewhere between 25 and 30,000 different species. On my kitchen windowsill, I have four plants, all different, and they just make me smile. I'm sure we can all think of something in nature that we delight in. And then there's the culmination of God's creation, us. Now just for a moment, take a look at the person next to you. Good, well done. How amazing are we? I'm just checking you're still listening, but everyone's moving, so that's good. But how amazing are we? We really are incredible. All right, we might be a bit stiffer than we'd like. Maybe we've got straight hair, but we prefer curly. Maybe our eyes are blue, but we might like them to be brown. These things aside, just look around at everyone here, all unique, all with our own skills and talents. It's just incredible to think about what we as humans do every day and have the potential to do. So just looking around at creation, we can see reasons every day to shout praises to God. But God's works do not stop at lovingly and skillfully crafting all that we see around us and beyond. His work of redemption is work that is far, far greater. And through it, the image of God, beautifully illustrated by the psalmist, is revealed. His nature is one of a God who is gracious and merciful. You see, God didn't just form the world in the beginning and then say, well, all right then, off you go. I've given you everything you need to survive. That's it. My work here is done. No, he is gracious and merciful. He is our Father, and we are his children. And just as we realise that our own children will not always follow our wishes, God knows that we too will stray from him. But he is always there. He has always been there and will always be there. In fact, in the psalm, there are five forever statements relating to the dependability we can have in God. It states, his righteousness endures forever. He is ever mindful of his covenant. His precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever. And he has commanded his covenant forever. From the perspective of the psalmist, God's righteousness and observance of the covenant would have been referring to the covenants of the Old Testament. The promises made by God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and renewed to their descendants, the house of Israel, at Mount Sinai, after they had been freed from Egypt. The writer knew that the covenant was recognised through Moses as he led Israel through the wilderness to the promised land. In short, the psalmist had historical proof of God's greatness, trustworthiness and goodness to his people. And those who revere, honour, worship and give thanks to him, he knew that God would always be with them. So that is why he could do nothing but give praise to God passionately with his whole heart. Now, when we read the psalm, we have a renewed perspective. Whilst we are living in the same world as the psalmist, surrounded by the same beauty of God's creation, which we can all delight in, we live with the knowledge of God's new covenant, which we know is not only for the house of Israel, but for all people. We are the new generation, the next chapter in God's plan for salvation. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we are redeemed and can enter into a personal relationship with God, and we can all be blessed with the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Through this psalm, God's caring nature is revealed. Like any good father, he doesn't want his children to fail. Like any good father, when we stray from the right path, he gives us every opportunity to come back again. And as post-resurrection people, we know that he gave everything, even his only son, for us to be able to do that. Sometimes we might feel that we're not good enough for God, or not worthy for God's blessing, or for some reason not able to receive his spirit. In fact, I had a really interesting chat with a child recently, and it highlighted a misunderstanding that I think many people have about God and being free to worship him, being free to receive his spirit. We were talking about the Bible, and the child said, "I could read it if I've been good enough. You see, you have to be good to read it, because everyone in the Bible is really good." I had to laugh, because we all know that this is far from true. As our psalmist knew, it was far from true. But even though, like our Old Testament counterparts, we get it wrong a lot, and like them, we turn our backs away from his will, and we often don't acknowledge his goodness, we can have faith, even more so than our psalmist, that he is always there. He will never leave us and will always welcome us back to be reconciled to him. So, there it is. That's why God deserves reverence. That's why he deserves our love, our faith. And that's why we should praise him with all of our strength and with our whole heart. Let's pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have given us in creation, everything we see around us. Help us, Lord, to take time, to take a moment, to stand in awe of your creation. And Lord, we thank you that even while time after time we turn away from you, time after time we behave in a way that is not how you would want us to be, we thank you, Lord, that we can come back to you with the faith and the trust that you will receive us back, Lord, and you will work through us with the enabling power of your Spirit and help us to be the people that you want us to be. Amen. Amen.